Church? Turn your Bibles with me again tonight to the book of Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. Last week we listened as Pharaoh had two dreams. Not just any dreams, but dreams that deeply troubled him. We watched as he called his magicians and so-called wise men to interpret these dreams, and they could not. It seemed as if God had shut their minds to even the smallest of possibilities as to what these dreams meant. We then heard Pharaoh's cupbearer, as he remembered what Joseph had done for him, tell the story to Pharaoh. And Joseph was immediately called for to come in the presence of the court of Pharaoh. Joseph admitted at the very beginning that he did not have the power to interpret his dreams, but if God was willing, God could desire and allow Joseph to understand. Well, we learned that what God was doing was using the nation of Israel, Egypt, to grow the nation, a nation of people, his people. Excuse me. God elevated Joseph from a jail cell to make him the second highest ranking person in the land of Egypt in 1 hour period of time, giving him the power to make decisions that would save all of Egypt's people and the Hebrew children as well. Tonight, we will pick up where we left off in our lesson in chapter 41. So let's look at chapter 41. We're going to pick up on verse 46. Chapter 41, verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Joseph left Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout the land of Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced outstanding harvests. Joseph gathered all the excess food in the land of Egypt during the 7 years and placed it in the cities. He placed the food in every city from the fields around it. So Joseph stored up grain in such abundance, like the sand of the sea, that he stopped measuring it because it was beyond measure. Two sons were born to Joseph before the years of famine arrived. And Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore them to him. Joseph named the firstborn son Manasseh, meaning, God has made me forget all my hardship in my father's house. And the second son he named Ephraim, meaning, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Then the 7 years of abundance in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began. Just as Joseph had said, there was a famine in every country, but throughout the land of Egypt there was food. Extreme hunger came to all the land of Egypt, and the people cried out to Pharaoh for food. Pharaoh told all of Egypt, go to Joseph and do whatever he tells you. Because the famine had spread across the whole country, Joseph opened up the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. The whole world came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, for the famine was severe all over the earth. Let's pray. Father, as we come tonight and we've opened your word and we've read your scripture, Lord, I pray that you would open our minds and lighten us, Lord, that we might better understand what we've just read. Lord, we've come to grow in our knowledge of you. So, Lord, I pray that you'd allow that to happen. Help us to just be invigorated by your word, to feel your presence like we never have before. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. I hadn't done this in a while. Is all scripture applicable to us today? Is all scripture applicable to us today? Some of y'all didn't act like y'all were sure. Even the Old Testament? Yes. Yes, it is. Now, the only way that it's not is if Jesus makes a declaration in the New Testament that does away with some ordinance or command or law. Now, did Jesus ever do that? Yes. The food laws that took place in the Old Testament, Jesus, you know, he didn't do away with all of them, but he did away with some of them, okay? So tonight, we need to understand that the scripture that we just read is applicable to us. There is something there that we can understand, that we might be greater servants to God if we will understand. right? It's important that we not only read Scripture, but that we study Scripture. It doesn't say in the New Testament, read Scripture to show thyself approved. Does it? It says, study to show thyself approved. There's a difference between reading and study. Reading, you don't have to really comprehend. You're just reading to make yourself feel like you've done a good job. Studying is a wholly different level. We need to study that we might understand. Amen? Because Scripture is applicable. All Scripture is applicable in the day that we live in. So is there a message for us tonight in this Old Testament book of Genesis? Yes. Well, what is it, Brother Kyle? Calm down. Slow down. Y'all are getting excited. We'll get to it in a minute. Jeff, calm down. All right? Now, what did we just see in Scripture tonight? Verse 46, and this is, I want y'all to get excited about Scripture. Verse 46 is amazing. It doesn't seem that amazing, but it's, let's read verse 46 again. Listen to it. It says, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Joseph left Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout the land of Egypt. Well, Brother Kyle, I didn't see anything great in there. You've got to study it. You can't just read it. Justin, if you go to school and that's how you study, you're in trouble. Steve, you saw it, didn't you? Did you see it? I mean, there's some meat on the bone in just verse 46. That's what I want y'all to get excited when y'all read and y'all stop and you contemplate. I did. Okay, I'm sorry. Verse 46 is just two sentences long, but it's packed with information, both seen and unseen, that we need to understand. Miss Desi, there are things that we can see in verse 46, and there's things that we can't see in verse 46, but we ought to be excited about what we can see and what we can't see at the same time. We first see that Joseph was 30 years old when he started his job with Pharaoh. This was a young age to be a ruler of such a large kingdom as Egypt. The second thing that we see is that Joseph traveled all over the land of Egypt, where he was most likely inspecting the land to see exactly what was going on in each location. You know, Georgia is known for peaches and peanuts and what other crops is Georgia known for? Cotton. Who? Pecans. What else? But there's certain things that we grow here you can't grow anywhere else. Florida is known for citrus fruit. Now, you can grow some citrus fruit here, but you can't all the time. I had a lemon tree last year. It had over 90 lemons on it. I mean, I was going out of my ears. I was bringing lemons to everybody. This year, you know how many I had? None. Why? Because lemons just aren't really, really, you know, productive. Now, there were people who had all kind of oranges and grapefruit, but I didn't have any lemons. Now, thank you, brother. What we see is a man who is fully engaged in his work with Joseph tonight. A man on a mission. But there's something missing that I did not catch until I started studying this chapter. Joseph, church, he was allowed to do all of this for a reason. Joseph was a free man. He was a free man. Now, he could have done anything he wanted and gone anywhere he wanted to go. Y'all with me? Show me that you're awake. Let me see you nod. He was second in command. Nobody above him but Pharaoh. Miss Desi, he could have done anything he wanted to do. There's something missing. Why did he not send word to his father? Y'all need to be thinking about this. He didn't. Why did he not send word to his father? Why did he not ask permission to go? Why did he not do many of the things that he did? So, listen, why didn't he do all this so he could let his family at least know what was going on in his life? At this very point in Scripture, Joseph is considered dead by his father, and his brothers have no idea what's become of him. And to Joseph, his family is dead to him, and will shortly, he'll shortly have to deal with not dealing with his family. Church, it almost seems like Joseph is angry, doesn't it? His brother sold him into slavery. Nobody has never come looking for him, at least to his knowledge. He was considered dead. Joseph has the ability to seek his father out, to send word, and we don't see it happening. We don't see it happening. He's angry. We see an assessment of the land and a report on what is grown in verses 47 through 49. The land had gone, had done just exactly as Pharaoh's dreams had said and produced mass numbers. 1/5 of all crops were taken by the Egyptian government to storehouse. This had a major, this had to be a major endeavor. And as I've seen what farmers try to do to skirt the government today. Now, when we were in Kentucky, there were good years and there were some bad years. The majority of the years we were in Kentucky, they were good years. The majority of the farmers that were in the church that I was at in Kentucky, they had corn and they had tobacco. Now, I don't know if y'all are aware of this. We touched on it when we ran through the book of Revelation a few years ago. The government allows you to grow a certain amount and then you can't grow anymore. Does that make sense to y'all? We are being conditioned on a daily basis to accept things that are going to take place during the time of tribulation. Brother Kyle, we have a mass food. I mean, there's food shortage all over the people. You know, why are prices going up and down? Because the government is regulating you. That's why anything that has to do with the government, adding regulations or giving more regulations or taxing me more, I want no part of it. Well, why is that? Because I want to try and slow what's going to take place during the times of tribulation. Is it going to stop? No. I know it's coming, but I don't want to be a part of it. Do you? We are being regulated on such an unbelievable basis. It's not. And we're going to see some regulation in this tonight. We really are. I'm quite sure that Joseph had to deal with many farmers who did not buy into Pharaoh's dreams. Yeah, boy, this is just another government task to bring the farmers down. We're going to have all, for 7 years, he's going to take 1/5 of my product. Can't y'all see that? Can y'all hear something like that taking place in America? We're going to take our fair share. Well, they already do. Do you know the government pays farmers not to produce as much as they do? Does that even make sense to you? Sister Sue, the government, the American government, pays farmers to stop producing food. Let's vote those people back in. Well, we don't have to say that. They keep getting in. But we do not see this, but we do see this in our scripture tonight. We do see that crops are abundant tonight. And that Joseph had tried to measure what was taken in at first, but he could not because of how much had been stored. He stopped. At first, I mean, the first year or so, Becky, he was trying to plot, trying to figure out how much he was going to need, if it was all going to work out, if everything was going to work out. He was trying to use man-made methods to calculate whether they were going to have enough to get by in the 7 years of famine. Seems like Joseph had forgotten that something was a factor in there. Who was the factor? God was the factor. Pharaoh had the dreams, but who gave Pharaoh the dreams? God did. God knew more about what was taking place than Joseph or Pharaoh. Seems like Joseph had forgotten. We also see that a very elaborate system was set into place in verse 48. There was not just one central location, and this in my mind, as I had read over it, you know, time and time again, in my mind, I was thinking, okay, 1/5 of all the crops were brought into one central location in Egypt, but that wasn't the case, where all the excess product was stored. Each city, our scripture tells us, each city had its own storage facility to store what was needed. This would spread Joseph very thin with his time, and as he would oversee every location. Joseph was in charge of it all. This could have been a reason that Joseph did not reach out to his family. But in Jewish culture, family came first. Family came first. And by Joseph not, at the very least, sending out a rider to communicate with his family, there was some unresolved hurt in his life. What did this system of storage look like then? And is there any evidence of it today? Now, church, most of the findings we see, I love to watch the pyramids, and I love to watch, you know, the years ago, they brought the artifacts from Egypt through Charlotte. It was, do you remember that, honey? It was King, who? Yeah, okay, that's him. And we, kids lined up to go see. I mean, it was. I loved, but I've never heard of any storage system. But if God made it all happen, Pharaoh had the dream, Joseph interpreted the dream, there must have been, right? Right? Most of the findings we hear about in Egypt are about a tomb or a pyramid. But archaeologists have found silos that could hold large amounts of grain. The major food source for Egypt at that time was grain for flour to make bread and grain to produce what we would call beer today. The Egyptians also were very capable of preserving meat and salt and spices, as well as dehydrating meats in the desert sun. Was it possible by man's standards to store enough food to keep the people alive during the 7 years of nothing? Was it possible? Yeah, it really was. It really was. But church, man was not just acting on his own accord in this instance. God had told of this taking place, and it would be God who sustained the people through it all. Y'all do remember the story of the oil and the flour that never ran out with Elijah, right? Y'all remember that? And it was a time of another famine. And he told the woman, make me a cake, and then you eat. And she said, I only have enough for my son. He said, just have faith. Caleb, she made the cake. And while he was eating, she poured herself another cake. And another, and another, and another. And it never ran out until the famine was gone. Did that have anything to do with Elijah? It had everything to do with God. We're just men. God is God. He knew about this famine before the famine. He introduced this famine. He made this famine come about. Why? That his people might grow as a mighty nation. And God's at work, even in the famine. We see in verses 50 through 52 that God allowed Joseph to prosper and his family as well by giving him two sons. Now, church, we also can see evidence of the hurt in Joseph's life by the name of his sons as he did. Look at verse 50. Look at verse 50 again. It says, the two sons born to Joseph before the years of famine arrived, Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to them. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, meaning God has made me forget all my hardship in my father's house. Why would he do that? Why would he name his son that? Because he was hurt. He was hurting. Did y'all ever see or feel or sense this hurt as you read through this chapter before? I hadn't. I really hadn't. He was hurting. And the second son he named Ephraim, meaning God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. And what we're seeing here is a hurting man and a healing man. Now, he wasn't allowing God to heal him. He was allowing the circumstances in his new land to heal him. His notoriety, his new level of position, what God was allowing him to do, but he was doing it in his own mind. Now, we see in verses 53 through... Let me go back. It seems as if Joseph had turned his back on who he was and turned his face to Egypt. He had made himself into a model Egyptian. Church, the world around us has a way of moving us from who we are, who we were, a way of making us so busy we forget who we're supposed to be, what we are called to be. We do not hear any reference of Joseph using his platform to spread the word about his God to the Egyptian people. God would soon make his name known. During the 7 years of abundance, Steve Blake, do you hear Joseph standing on and saying, proclaiming, this is God. This is my God who's doing this. No. All he is doing is what he has been told to do by Pharaoh. It's almost like he's transitioning to a person that he was never supposed to be. Isn't that what happens to us when we get caught up in the world? It breaks my heart to see, it both thrills my heart and breaks my heart to see young people accept Christ as their personal Savior at an early age. It just thrills my heart that they're on fire for the Lord, but something happens after they graduate high school and they get in to college. A lot of times in college, they're under unbelievable liberal and atheist professors who try to brainwash them into saying, you know, you need to believe in science and not the fables of Scripture. And they step away from everything that they've ever been taught and everything they know. And then something else happens. After they graduate from college, they find a career. And their career soon consumes them. And something else happens. That they try to meet, that they try to keep up with the Joneses or the Smiths. And what they're doing isn't enough, so they do more. They don't have one profession. They have two professions or three professions. And they're trying to pay off this and pay off that. And what's happening is they're stepping further and further away from God, who God called them to be and what God wants them to be. And that's exactly what we see taking place in the life of Joseph tonight. Is that a tactic of Satan? Yeah. We so busy ourselves that we forget about what it is that God's called us to do. Well, Brother Kyle, God hasn't called me to do anything. Well, you might want to check to find out if you're a Christian or not, because I've never known a Christian not to be called to do something. God saves you to be in service to Him. And if you're not in service to Him and you have no desire to serve God, listen, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you're lost. If all you want to do is do for yourself, something's wrong. Something's terribly wrong. Now, we see in verses 53 through 57 that the 7 years of famine has now started. All that God had placed in the mind of Joseph to do and to prepare for this day was now about to take place. We see that Pharaoh once again placed all the responsibility to disperse the food stored up was upon the shoulders of Joseph. Joseph would have been the person, or was the person, who was rewarded for all the success of this project. And listen, church, he would have been the person who would have been blamed had it all failed, had it all not worked. Pharaoh was putting all the blame on Joseph. Now, we see in verses 55 and 56 that the stored grain was not distributed to the people until the people were in desperate need. Did y'all see that? It could be that even though the 7 years of prosperity was gone and that the people still planted and received some sort of a yield from their harvest, but when all of the personal supplies ran out, and the people became hungry enough to petition Pharaoh for help, then Joseph opened the storehouses. Now, we also see something disheartening in verses 56. As the starving people were not just given the supplies, they had to buy the supplies. Now, we won't go off topic far, only to say that the government was prospering during the time of even a famine. Kind of sounds like our government of today, doesn't it? I want to say more, but I'm not going to. We then see something in verse 57. We see in verse 57 a pivotal force taking place. The famine was not just centralized in the land of Egypt. Now, if y'all recall Pharaoh's dreams, the cow came up out of where? the Nile. The Nile is centrally located where? Right in Egypt. It was their main source. It was not only their main source of water, but it's also their main source of food. Well, what are you talking about? The fish? No. The Nile is known to overflow every single year. And that silt that comes in fertilizes the land. So, I mean, the Nile was very important. The way the dream looks like, it looks as if this famine is going to be centralized in Egypt. But it's not. The famine was now severe all over the then known world. This would mean that any person who had no food would be coming to Egypt when they found out that the food was being sold there. Was God at work? Oh, yeah. Even in the midst of unbelievable great despair, God is always at work trying to grow His people. Do you know that God is going to be at work even in the time of tribulation? Trying to reach those people who are still able to receive Him? It's going to be a time of despair that I can't even comprehend. I've had this conversation a couple times this week. Do you know Jesus said, in the time of my return, it'll be times like unto Sodom. How bad was Sodom, Steve? I mean, you look at what's taking place in America today. You look at how bad things are, how people treat each other, how right's called wrong, wrong's called right. The sexual immorality that's taking place rampantly in America. The killing of almost 70 million babies. That's like worshiping Moloch in the Old Testament. Slaying, destroying, sucking babies out of mothers' wombs. 70 million. And you have politicians that are celebrating the fact that we're murdering babies. How bad is America and the world going to look when Jesus comes? How much worse is it going to be? And on a daily basis, our minds are, oh, it's okay, it's not bad. Our opinions supersede the Word of God. On a daily basis. Church, what can we learn from the lesson tonight? God can and will use you even when you have grown cold to what should matter to you most in your life. The world will try to steal you away, but God will always make a way for you to return back to Him, if you will. Now, we did not see God making a way for Joseph tonight, but He very soon very will. After you, are you where God can use you tonight? Church, are you where God can use you tonight? Can you see God at work in your life tonight? We can see it in Scripture, but can you see God at work in your life tonight? If you can't, there's a problem. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, as we come to you tonight, help us to properly evaluate what's taking place in our lives. Help us to see you where you are in our lives. Are you molding us? Are you making us? Are you leading us? Are you guiding us? Are you directing us, Lord? Are you prompting us to do things that we had never done before? Not for our glory, but for yours. Lord, help us to feel your presence during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? Will you come?